is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
McLeod, though, he can score shorthanded goals. He's got the puck. He feeds it through. Samuelson, tough angle, shot. Scores! Oh, my goodness! Unbelievable! Unbelievable! Oh, man. Do you believe what you just saw from Matthias Samuelson?
That's going to be his seventh goal, and this is the best one.
Well, all apologies to his overtime winner in Detroit. I mean, I think there's a debate to be had as to which one was his best this year. But indeed, it might well be a Sammy day here on Sabres Live. Welcome in. A Friday edition, no less, Marty.
Friday, yes. I mean, we got a big one tomorrow night against the Anaheim Ducks. The Bills are on Sunday, so it'll be a busy weekend, obviously. Lots of hockey. Not so much tonight, but tomorrow there'll be plenty. So, obviously, we're keeping an eye on the standings, even though this was game 42, but it's been back and forth the whole, you know, the last few weeks when it comes to wild card spot, the Atlantic Division, and everything. But when it comes down to Matthias Samuelson, that goal was probably the best shot he's ever had when it comes to a goal, because there wasn't a lot of room. And I love his explanation. Well, we all know Jonathan Quick likes to go down, and we've seen him play, and I've watched him, you know, growing up. That was maybe a dig, but, you know, let alone that he scored on him short side like that. That was a big goal. While, you know, Peyton Krebs was in the box for a double minor high sticking penalty, that could have changed the game in a negative way. The positive was all that we're talking about.
How many Sabres defensemen in team history do you think have scored a shorthanded goal at MSG?
Wow. At MSG, I'm going to say four.
Two. Matthias Samuelson is one.
And who is the other one? Give me an era.
No. Just think of the greatest defense scorer.
I was going to say Housley.
Bill Housley did it twice at MSG.
Oh, he did it twice. Okay.
But Matthias Samuelson is the only other one. Isn't that amazing? This is also.
I was worried that maybe it was going to be an unknown, like a Richard Schmelick somehow got a shorthanded goal. That's why, like, my head went to Housley, but I'm like, there's got to be something.
This is a rabbit hole Friday on Sabres Live. There have been many tunnels burrowed through already as it pertained to shorthanded goals and defense scoring. So now that you just opened the other can of worms, most shorthanded goals by a Sabres defenseman in team history.
But I'm going to stick with Housley.
Nope.
No. Okay.
Two of them, and they each have five.
Five shorthanded goal
mm-hmm.
by a defenseman. Wow. Because I mentioned Richard Schmelick, I'm starting to think that maybe it would be somebody from that era.
Like Richard Schmelick and Alexei Zhitnik.
Okay. I was going to say Zhitnik as the
partners.
Partners. So I wasn't going to say Schmelick because I'm like, I don't know that Schmelly would be the one to get it, but Zhitnik would definitely have been one. So that's who I was going to go with.
Well, I don't know if I would have said either would have definitely been one in franchise history, but they are the leaders from the blue line, each with five shorthanded goals. Height and Housley both have four. Korab and Kalinin both have three. Now, Samuelson became
I'm impressed that Dmitry Kalinin had three and is on that list too.
Samuelson became the 25th defenseman ever to score a shorthanded goal for the Sabres. He became the 122nd Sabre ever to score a shorthanded goal. So
you want me to name all the defensemen in Sabres history that did not score a shorthanded goal?
No, but you know what I will say? It's shocking the players who never did score a shorthanded goal. Just based on the sheer volume, the production that they had over their career, you would have thought accidentally they would have found themselves in
an empty net, an empty net shorthanded goal.
Rick Martin never scored a shorthanded goal.
Yeah.
Dave Andrechuk never scored a shorthanded goal.
Wow.
And the most surprising, but he had one, only one. Danny Gare only had one shorthanded goal as a Sabre. Now, granted, he was playing in the Luce and Ramsey era.
Yeah,
and they were the lead killers, but still. Anyway, it's wild.
Yeah, but you would think, like you said, end of game.
Sure.
6-on-4, we get an empty net goal shorthanded, right? Because, to be honest, like last night, McLeod's goal was almost a shorthanded goal, empty netter.
Yes,
Peyton Krebs stepped on the ice for 1 second and ended up with a plus one on that play, right as McLeod shot it all the way down. No icing, but by the time he got there, the penalty had expired, and it was not a shorthanded goal. They almost finished the game with two shorthanded goals.
We will have Shayna Goldman later on in the show. We will talk more about the next matchup for Buffalo, which is Anaheim tomorrow. The Ducks have lost 8 in a row and 10 of 11. But let's continue on the Samuelson train with the coach and Sammy himself.
Well, it was just probably as good as any goal scorer. He might be getting the label as a goal scorer now if he keeps those up.
Were you surprised he was going? He took that to the net. I mean, Lafreniere kind of dropped off him, gave him some room. But initially, I don't think he was going to the net in that play.
I don't think so. I don't think he was until he saw that they backed off, and then he realized he's got some room, and thought he'd throw one at the goalie. And you know, that's a goal scorer shot right there. That short side over the shoulder, right next to the ear.
Definitely was trying to go short side there. Yeah. I mean, I think everyone kind of knows Quick style, you know, grow up watching him and stuff. So he's more of a down low goalie for sure. So yeah, that was just glad that one didn't go high and wide and wrap around. But yeah, trying to go short side for sure.
Samuelson now trails Craig Ramsey by 26 for the all-time shorthanded goal lead. We'll continue to monitor that chase as Sammy's career unfolds in blue and gold. And black
I love
and
what
red
Sammy
tomorrow.
Just said. It didn't go high and wide and started their breakout. The rim
happens
around.
A lot.
That happens a lot. But you know what, though? That's why, like, I know we talk a lot about missed shots, right? How many missed shots and somebody missing the net. But I've had that conversation with a lot of goal scorers. And often they're like, so what do you want me to do? Shoot in the goalie's chest? I'm wanting to pick a corner. If I miss it by 2 inches on the outside, it goes around the wall and rims. And I get yelled at. But if I miss it by 3 feet and hit the goalie in the chest, nobody complains. They're like, oh, good shot. It's not a good shot. I miss my spot by 3 feet. But if I miss it by 2 inches, I get yelled at. So sometimes that's the fine line, right, of missing outside the net or missing inside the net.
100%. And Samuelson has 2 game winners this year, which has him tied for 10th in the NHL among defensemen. And he's one of only 8 defensemen across the league that have 2 shorthanded points this season. So now, just to reflect back on a name that did come up earlier this week in Sabres history, and I can't remember the context of it, but how about this one? There's 2 Sabres in franchise history who scored just 1 goal for the team, but that 1 goal was shorthanded.
Wow.
Can you name them?
And you said that name was...
He looks like me.
Andre Benoit, okay.
Andre Benoit. So,
yes, that was his birthday. That's why his name came up. That was his birthday the other day.
I remember the game vividly. We were in Detroit right before Christmas. Benoit's goal was stunning. The celebration was better. Buffalo was up 3-1. Detroit scored 5 in a row and won 6-3. And Michael Frolik was the only other Sabre to have 1 goal and have it shorthanded, but his was in an empty net, so it's completely different than the situation we're talking about. And Buffalo's net was occupied last night by Colton Ellis, and it was a busy area around Ellis in his return after a month on the sidelines, especially in period number 3. What'd you think?
What I thought is there was a lot of scramble, and the Sabres were overwhelmed in the third period, and Lindy Ruff addressed that, and he did say, like, we didn't handle their pressure very well, especially in the third period. But one thing that he liked, and one thing that Matthias Samuelson mentioned as well, is that every time there was a mad scramble around the net, they did have 5 white jerseys right there. Now, often Colton Ellis was laying down, snow angeling it, like doing all of the non-technical elements to a game, you know, when you're playing net. But it's about the fight. And I think that's what we're seeing, right? We're seeing Bo Byram getting in the way of a shot, blocking a shot and limping off the ice a little bit. Well, the referee also took that one in the face on that block shot, but...
Any update on McDougal, by the way?
I've not seen any update. And just a little sidebar there. When we were in Ottawa before Christmas, when I walked in, Eric Furlatt was walking in at the same time. He was a referee.
Right.
But anyway, I've known him a long time. And I'm like, how's the schedule this year? He goes, we are all over the place because there's so many guys that are hurt. And we are being like shipped from one to next. And we're so it's not helping when you see another referee going down. And hopefully he's fine. And, you know, the referees are not being outworked because they're all going to get a break in February. Some of them are going to the Olympics. But it's a tough job. So that's that. But I feel like the desperation was there, and Colton Ellis' desperation was definitely there. I thought he looked really good early in the game. His positioning was well. He made a couple of big saves. That was great. And then it became scrambly. And that's fine. Like the game's not always going to be a perfect game. And he didn't like that second goal he gave up.
Yeah.
It's a tough goal to give up early in the third period. But you know what's a lot easier to talk about? Talking about a bad goal in a win, like saying, yeah, I don't like that goal. Well, you won, so you can kind of forget it. Lindy Ruff saying, I don't love that we didn't handle the pressure, and now that's two games in a row with Vancouver the other night, third period, overwhelmed last night, same thing. But you're talking about him in wins, and you can go out there and put a little bit of a positive spin into the video session, the clips, and having one-on-one meetings and going forward. The same thing works for Colton Ellis and his performance last night. Was it the best he's looked all year? Probably not, but was it a big win to keep it going? Absolutely.
Team is off today. Reaction to Ellis from last night.
A-plus game, for sure. But we know he's, when we put him in, he's been ready to play. He gave us a great game. You know, he worked hard to get back and be ready, and I thought did an excellent job tonight.
Yeah, he played unreal. You know, made some huge saves. Yeah, I mean, they obviously had a lot of chances there, and, you know, not only in the third, but he played unreal all game.
So one other storyline from last night is where
did Lindy say that about me more often when I was playing A plus? He never said that in the post game. Marty was A plus tonight. Like I want to go back and try to see if we can find it, but it wasn't there.
You're so sensitive. Last night, Buffalo scored even strength, shorthanded power play, empty net. The power play is an interesting one because Zucker got the goal. It doesn't really matter how. It's just the fact you get rid of the offer that you've had of late, and now 1-for-17 after that moment, and maybe a step forward. Because, look, Rangers are actually a really tough team to score against 5-on-5. So the fact Buffalo found multiple ways to score last night is it's impressive, and it's just another way to look at all the things they've done well in winning 12 of the last 13. But what's your quick takeaway from the one power play tally?
One quick takeaway is it was a monkey off their back on the power play, off the back of Jason Zucker, which is a little shot that went off his back. Number two, how often have I talked about that shot from the middle from Rasmus Dahlin?
A lot.
That is the number one thing on the power play. If you can establish that shot from the middle, you're going to create opportunities, not just on the shot rebound, but also now everybody's going to cover the middle and you're going to open the sides, the flank for the one-timer. And look, Zucker gets the goal. Who's the other guy that has been having an impact on the power play while Zucker was gone? Was Josh Doan. He's the one that started to play in the corner. He made a nice play to Thompson. It gets the point. So I'm looking at that goal, even though it was a fluke type of goal, you know, quick makes a save off Zucker's nameplate and in. It's the lead up to the goal and some of the things that they've done. And I'm like, you do that more often, you're not going to go 1-for-19 or whatever it was. You're going to get more goals because of the details prior to the actual goal.
1-for-17, easy to remember because it was the 17 on the back. So
you're right. You did say it was the 1-for-17.
I'm just testing whether you actually listen. And I'm guilty of not doing
so. I was talking
so
about
also.
Josh Doan. He's 91 and his dad was 19. So I was like, I don't know. So.
None of what we've just talked about really, like, it matters. But there's one thing that truly matters. The standings.
Yes.
And Buffalo found their way back into wildcard 2 last night and will be avid Hawks fans this evening as there are very few games on the schedule, but Washington is one of them as they take on the Hot Hawks who've won 4 in a row.
Yeah, obviously, Washington has not had a good go of late. I mean, last end, they're 3-5-2. They're giving up a lot of goals. Ovi keeps scoring, though. I mean, like, he's been scoring goals, which is fun to watch, but they've slipped. They slipped a little bit, in, especially in the Metro, but now in the wild card spot. I'm looking at the standings, and I'm saying, okay, how do you get to Tampa? How do you get to Detroit? How do you get to Montreal? Well, you know what? You're playing Montreal three times this month. That maybe is how you get to Montreal. Montreal is 6 points ahead, and you have two games in hand. So that, to me, is where you got to go. You got three games in hand on Detroit. Wild card is nice, but I would love for the Sabres, and if you're watching MSG, to jump over to the left side of your screen and be in that conversation as one of the top three teams in the Atlantic.
Of course, Montreal and Detroit both won last night. Montreal has defeated the Sabres five consecutive times over the last couple of seasons, and Buffalo tries to halt that the next time they play, which is, of course, reunion night, January 15th. That is less than a week away at KeyBank Center. And, of course, it's a homestand. This is a big opportunity. Five straight in front of the home fans, which means emphasis on the five-game pack. Get yours today. Savings on single-game pricing, priority access to playoff tickets, flexibility to bundle your favorite games. It's all available at sabres.com/five. So we're looking forward to, you know, it's going to be a real packed building tomorrow when the Ducks come in. Yeah. What's the challenge here against an Anaheim team that has lost eight in a row, 10 of 11, and I had to do some fact-checking again just to believe what I've been saying. Marty, they are giving up exactly five goals per game during this 11-game run of futility that has taken them from an eight-point cushion as division leaders in the Pacific. They were 8 points clear of anybody who was out of the playoffs, and now they find themselves out of the top eight in the West.
The challenge for me is you're going to be getting those questions, right, tomorrow morning. Anaheim's giving up a lot of goals. You've watched the highlights. You're keeping up on it. You're going to get the pre-scout. They're giving up a lot of goals. It's not to think you're going to go out and be able to score five or six, because what was the key in New York last night? You only gave up two. What has been the key through the last 13 games where you won 12 of them? Is how few goals you've given up. And if you think that you're going to go play the Anaheim Ducks and say, hey, you know what? That's just point night. Let's go get some goals. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose. You're going to lose if that's the way you're approaching the game. And I don't think it will be hard to get the Sabres to say, let's continue to just lock it down. But Anaheim does give up. Like at 5-on-5, they're 22nd in the league in expected goals against. Mm-hmm. The Sabres have moved up and now are 10th. Like, they are much better defensively and also are not giving up as many chances as they used to, which is the difference. And I think I would have those numbers everywhere in the locker room. Like, why are you winning? Because you are not giving up chances the way that you used to.
Ducks managed to lose to Freddie Anderson and the Canes last night. Anderson had been winless in his previous nine games, so that's just a salt to the wound for an ineffective Anaheim team right now. And Carolina's turned it around here with three straight wins. You know, later in this homestand, as early as Monday, as a matter of fact, the Panthers are going to be in town. It'll be game four for them of their six-game trip, which is an 0-2 start already for the Panthers, and didn't have Marchand last night. So it's really...
And Tkachuk is almost ready to come back. Did not yet, but I will see if Marchand and Tkachuk are going to be in the lineup on Monday. But that's, they lost to Montreal last night and they got blown out of the water.
Well, they did. So let's follow that Montreal theme, because you're talking about chasing down the Habs. And not only has Buffalo lost five in a row to Montreal over the last couple of years, they've lost 9 of 12 going back to the 22-23 season. So this has been a really challenging matchup. And now the Habs have a new secret top line scorer, not so secret, in Texier after he was cut by St. Louis, and he's come in and produced 14 points in 22 games, including 6 points in his last two and his first NHL hat trick last night.
He's been going back and forth on the top line. Zach Bolduc has been playing top line, but Texier now is there, had the hat trick, did score the all Marty hating goal after the empty net goal. But the big thing with Montreal right now, and if I say the Sabres' success come from their defensive game, the Montreal Canadiens' success is not coming from Suzuki. It's not coming from Caulfield. It's not even coming from Lane Hudson as much. And goaltending, they've got a three goalie monster going on right now. It has been Kapanen, Demidov, and Slafkovský, that second line that has really led the way. Kapanen scored his 15th goal of the year. People are like, we're talking about Sammy Kapanen, Kasperi Kapanen. No, that's Oliver Kapanen. That's one that we've not heard a lot, but he's got 15. And maybe they found a second line since they moved Slafkovský off the top line. He's been just a bear. Last night he was awarded an empty net goal as he was, the stick got slashed out of his hand. But even that, the move that he did to go to the middle. And so that line to me is the one that the Sabres will have to really watch for when they play them three times this month.
Montreal is 8-1-2 in their last 11. They have points in 13 of their last 15. That's why they and Tampa and Detroit are staying where they are right now in the Atlantic. Of course, you mentioned empty netters. We mentioned the Wings. Congratulations, Pat Kane, on his 500th goal last night. He's only the 50th player in NHL history to hit this plateau, and he's only the fifth U.S.-born player to do it. And of course, because I love empty netters, he got it in the empty net. So I ask you, how many empty netters for Pat Kane amidst the 500?
41.
27. Do you know who leads the NHL all time? Alexander Ovechkin.
Ovechkin, yeah. And Wayne Gretzky's second.
69 empty netters for Ovechkin, 27 for Pat Kane. What a difference over those two who've had almost parallel careers timing-wise here. Yeah. Ovi obviously started a little bit earlier.
Well, Kane has 500 goals. If he had 900 and some, maybe that number would be 41 or 50. But it was interesting because it was 6 minutes left. They pulled a goalie. And as we watch on the screen, I'm not so sure Alex DeBrincat stayed onside on that play, which would have been an absolute disaster if Vancouver had challenged on Patrick. They weren't going to challenge that.
I got news for you. He still would have scored again later the way Vancouver
probably
going.
They would have given him another opportunity. Great on Patrick Kane. The first goal he scored was one of those very, very kind of unassuming Patrick Kane where you give him so much space and he comes in and just takes a simple shot and everybody's thinking he's going to make a play. Like with those type of players, at times you overthink what they're going to do. And it was very simple for Patrick Kane to come in there and you know, beat Kevin Lankinen for his 499, now 500. This is going to be off the top of my head. I think the very first U.S. player to 500 was Joe Mullen.
I believe possible. That, sounds right.
I think it was Joe Mullen, the very first U.S. player to 500 goals. So fifth U.S. player for Patrick Kane, yes.
Yeah, the one thing that will happen presumably after the Olympic break is that, but maybe before, if he stays hot, Kane will become the all-time points leader among U.S.-born players as he's about to pass Mike Modano in that regard. Vancouver, by the way, they've dropped 5 in a row and 7 of 8. Now, you speak of, you
know, I was correct, by the way.
Of course,
in 1997, Joe Mullen.
Dwight didn't challenge you on it. As far as the other stories about elite scorers, Josh Manson last night had an incredible game for the Avalanche in their 16th straight home win as they routed the Senators. Manson, 2 goals, 2 assists, and a fight. But I think the reality of the moment was funniest in his post-game commentary because Dave was in the crowd watching, and he's like, well, I'm pretty sure my dad has seen this, but I don't think he's seen this. And then he stopped himself. He's like, wait a minute. Nobody's ever seen this. I've never done this before, right? Like, he's never had a Gordie Howe. And I've loved Manson in Colorado since they acquired him from Anna. Yes. I thought it was such a terrific pickup at the time. He's had ultimate success with this team, and he gets so overshadowed for obvious reasons, when you're 3, 4, 5 on the depth chart.
Yeah.
You know, even think back to when Byram was there and it was always Makar and Taves and Byram and even Sammy Girard, who was more prolific offensively at times. Manson is just this beautiful blue liner that deserves all the accolades. So that's why we're throwing bouquets at him today.
Yeah. And obviously, Colorado is 18-0-2 at home this year. They have not lost in regulation. They had lost 2 games in regulation in Florida last week. Florida and Tampa. They were coming back home. Ottawa has not been good. and they were just coming off a loss in Utah, playing on back-to-back. They decide to start Levi Marilainen on back-to-back nights. They pull him after three just to have Matt Sogard go in for 17 minutes and give up five, and you're giving up eight after 40 minutes. Now, Colorado took the foot off the pedal in the third a little bit, but that was a whooping of the Ottawa Senator in Colorado last night.
And now Ottawa signed James Reimer to a tryout, and we'll see how it unfolds there in the absence of Linus Ullmark, who remains on personal leave. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic is coming up, and your opportunity to maybe get away and do some travel is right in front of you as well, thanks to Sabres.com/AAA. Enter the Escape the Cold Vacation Giveaway presented by AAA Travel for your chance to win an all-inclusive trip to the Dominican Republic. AAA Travel, where can we take you today? Shayna Goldman, next on Sabres Live.